We're up to Torah Mem Gimel in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 125, the right-hand column, about two-thirds way down the page. Rabbein Azal says, Da, you should know, Ki hadiburim shel harosho shehu bardas moilidim niuf bahashemea. You should know that when a rosho, who is intelligent, speaks, he creates a desire for adultery inside the one that's listening to his words. And now Rabbein Azal is going to explain this. This opening sentence is a statement that he wants to emphasize. Rabbein Azal obviously wants to warn us to stay far, far away from a Rosho Shehu Bardas, a Rosho who has Sechel, who's very intelligent or knowledgeable, that type of thing. Ki hazivugim nimshochim meiz v'ho'odom yoda eschavo ishtoi. When the Torah wants to talk about the union between husband and wife, it always uses the word das. It doesn't say he married, odom orishin married chavo. It uses the word vayeda odom eschavo ishtoi, das. Das represents that item that brings together ish and isha. Uchsiv, there's another pasuk in the Torah where it says, Kol isha yoidas ish. That when Hashem gave instructions to Moshe Rabbeinu to wipe out all the women of the nation of Midian, he said, any woman that knew a man should be killed. This word das is used repeatedly. Why? Why would the Torah knows how to speak Hebrew grammar? It's not misuse of a word. The Torah uses this word. It wants to emphasize that you should know that the whole concept of zivug originates in the brain. The whole yichud between man and woman originates. Its place of origin, its source, is in the brain. Ach, Rabbein Azal says, Ach, yeshnei mine zivugim. However, you should know there are two paths of zivugim, two different types of zivug. Hainu zivug digdusha. There is the concept of a holy mating, a holy zivug, who hiskashrus latzadikim vel hatoyro vel Hashem yisporach. When we talk about zivug, zivug means an attachment. Rabbein Azal says zivug digdusha means a person's attachment to tzadikim. That's one form of zivug digdusha, or the one's attachment, the kesher to the Torah, is a form of zivug digdusha. Or one's attachment to Hashem is also a concept of mating with Hashem, kavyochum. These are the examples of zivug digdusha. Ze nimshach midas digdusha. And these ksharim come about through das digdusha. The more a person is zoche to increase their own das digdusha, to learn Torah, or to come close to tzadikim, or that whole path, the more that's increased, the more that person becomes more attached to Hashem, to the Torah, and to tzaddikim. V'zivugim shel aveiro nimshochim midas deklipa. Whereas the zivug to what's bad, to the opposite of tzaddikim, to the opposite of the path of the Torah, away from Hashem, that also comes from das, but it comes from das deklipa, a bad type of das. We know, for example, the Zohar HaKadosh says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the symbol of Das, and his generation, because of the fact that they had him as their rabbi, they were called the Doer Deya, a generation which had a higher level of Das than just about any other generation. During his time, one of the most difficult problems that he suffered from was the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav were a group of people who were led. This is something that many people don't know about. Who were the leaders of the Erev Rav? The sons of Bilam Harosha. The Zohar HaKadosh mentions it, and the Medrash mentions their names, Yunus and Yumbrus, who were the leaders of the Erev Rav. They were the sons of Bilam Harosha. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that the words Erev Rav are bigimatria das, meaning they were living in that generation. They were also das. They were attached to the Yidden. They also had das. But their das is the das deklipa. Their das was a das that tried to drive the Jews away from Hashem, tried to drive the Jews away from Moshe Rabbeinu, away from tzaddikim, and to try to drive the Jews away from the Torah. That was their objective, and that's each time the Jews allowed themselves to listen to pay attention to what the Erev Rav was teaching at the time, they ended up being led away from Tzadikim Hashem and the Torah, and becoming attached to this Zivug de Klipa, this wrong type of Zivug. So that's on the level of Das. Now Rabbeinu Zal mentions another item, a very important point, Vahadibur hu hisgalu sadas, the power of speech that a person has, that's how a person reveals what's in his brain. When we want to know what a person's thinking, we don't take an x-ray of the brain. We don't use a telescope. We open our ears. We listen to what the person's saying. If the person is rational or normal, 10 degree, by hearing what's coming out of their mouth, we assume is what originated in the brain. Unfortunately, many people have a problem, Rahman al-Islam, that it's very possible a person starts talking and they didn't think through well enough what they wanted, what they're saying, so it's not connected. What's coming out of, but usually we assume the pasuk says mipiv das usvuna, that from a person's mouth you get the impression as to what's in that person's brain at the time. So Rabbeinu Zal says vahadibur hu hisgalus hadas. A person's word, the words that come out of a person's mouth, that's what reveals that person's das. Ki ein yoidema shebedas el al yidei adibur. The only way that we know what's in a person's brain, what's in a person's mind, is based on what he says. Kamei shekosuv, as the pasuk says, v'laylo lelaylo yechave doas. The pasuk puts the word yechave. Yechave means to speak, das, to speak, sechel. So we see that das is an item that's associated with dibur. Yechave miloshen dibur, shehad dibur medaber ma shebedas. It's assumed that from the mouth is coming forth what's in the person's brain. Ukesher rosho medaber. Therefore, when a rosho is speaking, umaitzi mipiv havolim, and he releases from his mouth vapors, moilid avirim arsim shel niuf, he creates poisonous vapors of adultery, where literally those people that are listening to what he's saying become infused with this type of wrong desire, Rahman al-Islam. V'hashomea mimenu hadiburim, people that listen to what this Rosha Bardas is saying, v'noishem neshimois, and they breathe in the words that this person is saying, machnis begufoy elo hoavirim, they're taking into their body these poisonous vapors. Ulefikoch, it's for this reason, bebilam shehu bechinas das deklipa, that when it comes to Bilam, whom the Torah uses as an example of das deklipa, because as bad as the Erev Rav, that was only his sons, they were his students. We talk about the highest level of Das the Klipa, as we'll see in a minute. It's Bilam Harosha. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ulefiko, Bilam shu bechinas Das the Klipa, kemoshe dorsh razal, al posuk loikom biyisroel kemoshe. The posuk says that in the Jewish nation, there never rose a leader like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says, biyisroel loikom. Among the Jews, there was nobody else equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. Avol be'umais kam, but among the nations of the world, there was one that was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu in das, in a sense. Umanoi, the Gemara asks, who was it? Bilam. And we mentioned in a chapter on Likutei Moharan earlier, Torah Lamed Vov, where Rabbeinu Zal brings that the word Bilam, the Beis and Lamed, are the first and last letters of the Torah. The Ayin represents the Shivim Ponim Shel Torah. And the Mem represents the 40 days in which the Torah was given. He was literally the antithesis of the Torah, Bilam. Ki Moshe hu das, because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is das. That's his midah. Rabbeinu Zal brings many v'loze nikra doiroi doir deo. And it's for this reason that his students, his generation, their title is Doer Deo. Why? Because their Rebbe was Rabbi Das. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what he's known for. His strength was Das. Ulakach, therefore, kishenotlu Moyov Eitzo Mimidyon, when Moyov went to seek advice, when Bolok went to seek advice from Midyon, Omrulahem, they were told, Ein koichoi elo beper, that the leader of the Jewish people, his whole strength is in his mouth. Ki haper hu hisgalus hadas. This is based on what we said earlier. What do you mean, Moshe Rabbeinu's whole strength is in his mouth? It's because of his extraordinary das. The mouth is simply a vehicle through which the das is shown. The mouth isn't the ikar. The mouth is a machine in a sense. But the mouth plays what's in the record, what's on the tape, and that's in the brain of the person. Rabbi Nizal says, therefore, Omar Moyav, Moyav said, Onu novoy aleim ba'odom shekoychei bepeh. If the Jews, the leader of the Jews, his whole strength is with his mouth, then if we want to attack them, we're also going to choose a leader whose strength is in his mouth, which was Bilam Harosha. Kihu gamkein das deklipa. Again, the emphasis isn't so much on the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the das of Moshe Rabbeinu versus the das of Bilam Harosha, the das deklipa. K'moshe kosov es ze le'uma ze osolikim. Because Shlomo HaMelech tells us that in order for there to be bechira, free choice, Hashem always matches the Kiddusha and the Tumah. He gives them both equal strength in a certain sense so that there should be free choice. So here also, if there was Moshe Rabbeinu, there had to be a Bilam also. V'zeh shekosu v'yoidea das elyon. The Pasuk says about Bilam that he knew the heavenly das. He knew what was going on upstairs in Shamayim. V'dorsh razal and the Gemara says in Brochus, sheyoda mosai HaKadosh Baruch Hu koyes. Bilam was so smart, was so knowledgeable in Hashem's schedule that he even knew that fraction of a he knew everything about Hashem's schedule in such detail that he even knew the one fraction of a second in the day when Hashem gets angry, Kavyochel. Ki kishahadas, and the Gemara says that Hashem did the Jews a tremendous favor that during the time that Bilam was alive, Hashem changed his schedule in order to save us. Because had he not, had Hashem continued in his normal, regular way to allow himself to have that fraction of a second of anger within the day, Bilam knew exactly when it took place, and if Bilam would have cursed the Jews at that second, his klala would have had to come true, and it could have brought the end for Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom. So the Gemara says, Zechor, remember the tremendous chesed that Hashem did for the Yidden during the time that Bilam was alive, in that he didn't allow himself that second, fraction of a second of anger. Now Rabbi Nizal explains, what's the kesher with this das, Moshe Rabbeinu being das the Kedusha, Bilam being das the Klipa, and Bilam knowing exactly when Hashem gets angry, that would have been the key to his success. Rabbi Nizal explains, because when a person's das is unsettled, when a person isn't thinking properly, yesh kas, then there is anger. As the Gemara says in Psochim, kol hakoyes chochmosoi mistalekes mimenu, that when a person gets angry, it's a sign that their chochma has left them. So Rabbi Nizal is giving us the reverse of this Gemara, that when a person is lacking in das, it means automatically kas. It's tied, what, both are tied to each other. Ulefikor kishiko. Okay, so that's Bilam, who is yoidea das elyoin, which is das de klipa, which means das de kedusha is messed up. We said when the das de kedusha is messed up, there's kas. That's why the Gemara makes the connection between Bilam, that Bilam's whole kesher, Bilam's whole success was dependent on the kas of Hashem. If there would have been that one split second of kas, Bilam would have been a total success. Why? Because das de klipa is synonymous with the opposite of das de kedusha, which is kas. Ulefikoch, Rabbi Nizal says, for this reason, kishekoas Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom al anshei hatzava, kishebo mimidyon, when the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu sent his army against Midian, and they went out and did battle, and when they returned, Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at the generals, at the leaders. Vuhutzruch elozor loimar hilchest vilas kelim. And the Torah says that because Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, his das left him. And therefore, the halachas that needed to be taught at that time, which was the laws of toivling kelim, in other words, they had captured a lot of gold and silver from the goyim at that time. And the question was, how to kasher that? How to be allowed to use that? If they wanted to have pots made from it or utensils made from it? So the Torah tells us that those laws were taught by Elozor HaKoyen. What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Gemara says that because he got angry, chochmosai mistalekes, his sechel left him to an extent, to the point, and this was shown by his inability, chas v'shalom, to be able to teach Torah at the time. He was forced to allow Elozar HaKoyen to be the one to give over those divrei Torah. U'kishahadas sholem, azai ein kas. Whereas, when the das is b'shlemus, then there's no kas. K'mayshekosav, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Novi, when it describes the coming of Moshiach, it says, lo yoreu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kochi. There will not be any anger or any machlokes on the holy mountain of Hashem. It says over there, the gor zevim keves v'nomerim diyachdov. There'll be total shalom, the opposite of kas. Why? Kimola ha'oretz deya. Because there'll be the das will be b'shlemus. Automatically, there'll be no ra, no mashchis. Ubilam hoya mistakel b'das diklipa. Bilam, when the Gemara says that he was looking, the Oidea Das Elyon, he was looking for that moment that Hashem gets angry, it means he was looking for this Das Diklipa, the opposite of Das Dikdusha. Shehu Moisrois Shel Das Elyon, which is the excess of the heavenly Das. And clearly, one of the items that one of the most important items that Rabbeinu Zal is referring to over here is philosophy. The limud of philosophy, which is, it's called Sforim Chitzonim. That's the name that's given to it. In other words, it's the sixth Chumash. There's five Chumashim, which contain the wisdom of Hashem. Then there's this additional wisdom, this additional form of knowledge called philosophy, which is this Das Diklipa. That's the Yevonim. We're in the holiday of Chanukah now. That's what the Yevonim wanted to do. That's what the Erev Rav, that was the whole problem with the Erev Rav, when the Torah says that Hashem sicked Amalek against the Jews, because they had a question at the time, Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im oyin. They wanted to know, is Hashem with us now? Or Ayin, or is Keser. They wanted to think into which mid of Hashem is with them at the time in a manner that they weren't, that was from the type of questions that they weren't permitted to ask at the time.
Does that intone that the klipa doesn't necessarily have to deal with adultery to encourage the listener to come into an adultery?
Of course not. In other words, of course, the connection isn't obvious. However, I'll just mention one item. Rabbeinu Zal mentions in a few places in Likutei Moharan that if you look at the Sefer Mishlei, Mishlei is the Sefer that Shlomo HaMelech writes praising the Torah. He writes thousands of things explaining the beauty of the Torah and the greatness of the Torah. And there, he constantly refers to two women, the woman of Kedusha and the Isha min HaEfes. And the Isha, the Temeya, he uses tens of adjectives to describe these two women. And many of the Meforshim write that in those, who's he talking about, those two women? The woman of Kedusha represents the Torah, the Das Dikdusha. The Isha min HaEfes that he refers to over there is referring to this limud of philosophy, these chochmos chitzonius, these outside wisdoms, which Shlomo HaMelech was the one who knew better than anybody else that those extras, That extra wisdom doesn't add, it subtracts. There's a statement, a quotation that I once heard, Rabbi Yechaim Zichron Avraha once said that there were two people, there was a Breslov, a chosid, like a very simple type of person, a guy who had a makolet, something like that, who was once got into a discussion with a big rav, a goyin, a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And the goyin was making fun of him for something that he was doing. And this person looked at him straight in the eye, the simpleton looked at him straight in the eye, and he said, I want you to know that the fact that you've learned hundreds, possibly thousands of Sforim that I haven't learned certainly gives you an advantage over me. You certainly are better than me in that manner. But the fact that you learned Sforim Chitzanim, the fact that you looked into those books of philosophy, you could never, ever have the emunah that I have. There's nothing you could ever do to fix, in other words, to get to the madrega of emunah in Hashem, or emunah in the Torah, emunah tzaddikim that I have. And this rabbi didn't answer. This rabbi, it seems, had a certain degree of honesty where he silenced him completely. He knew that what the person was saying was accurate, because the nature of this type of wisdom is such that once the Torah uses the wording about it, kol bo'echo lo yeshuvun v'lo yasigu orcho yischayim. Our Rebbe Zichron Baruch used to use the wording, it's a one-way ticket, chas v'shon. It's a super dangerous item, which it makes a hole, a certain kind of a hole in a person's brain, which is almost impossible to repair. And it's not just a hole in the brain, it's a hole in emunah. There's a certain use. In other words, kol mitzvoisech emunah, the whole foundation of Yiddishkeit is based on a certain respect, a certain emunah, certain concept of faith and a belief in Hashem, and a realization that there's a lot of things about Hashem that we can't understand or don't understand. Or there's a lot of things in the Torah that we can't understand or don't understand. Whether we don't understand it now and we'll understand it 10 years from now, or if we don't, certain things we know we won't understand at least until we die. There are certain things Rabbein Ezal mentions, the question of Yediyah and Bechira, certain other things, where Rabbein Ezal says, don't waste your time. This information is not available to a physical human being. It's at best, you can hope that you're going to get to know this, you know, after you pass away, if you're lucky, if you live the right way, etc. And therefore, the tremendous sakona, you know, in terms of learning these kind of things, which... This is what Rabbi Ezal is talking about here.
Why is there such an outstanding connection between philosophy and Yiddish?
I'm giving you one proof. I'm giving you one example. The fact that philosophy is called the other woman. The Torah is called in Mishle the wife, the Ishav, Eshes Chayil Miyimtzav, Rochik Mipnina Michra. That's just one adjective that's used in Mishle. I'm telling you, there's maybe 70, 80 adjectives about women that are used in Mishle to describe the Torah. Eisha Schael, Eisha Tahoira, Eisha this, Eisha that. And when it speaks about, and it always matches it against that other woman, Eisha Ro, Eisha Mina Ephes, etc., etc. And Shlomo HaMelech over there is talking about Chachma, the Torah, versus the other Chachmas. That's the name that's given to it on that level. Rabbeinu Zal is explaining in this Torah Nukut Imran that Zivug originates in the brain. The concept, the Zera originates in the brain. So now, once you know that, the brain can either have Chachma Digdusha in it, or that other Chachma. If it has Chachma Digdusha in it, then it's going to lead the person in a path of Zivug Digdusha. If it has the other Chachma, it's also going to lead to Zivug. That's what Rabbeinu Zal says here. There's two kinds of Zivug. There's this Zivug, if you're learning Chachmais of Kiddusha, and if you're learning these other Chachmais, it'll result in Zivug, what's the wording he uses? Zivugim Shel Avera. Period. One form of Zivugim Shel Avera is Niyuf. That's one example of it.
We had stated that that his whole purpose was to give free choice to the other nations. He would have free choice.
Not just to the other nations, to the Jews also.
To the Jews also. Well, in that sense, then, didn't that kind of take away Balaam's free choice of becoming righteous, since he was needed to give the other people free choice?
Not really, because one of the amazing things that Rav Nosson Zalt speaks about in Likutei Halachos is how in the world could this be possible? How is it possible that you could have someone who knows about Hashem as much as Moshe Rabbeinu knows about Hashem and does the opposite of what Hashem really wants a person to do? How is that possible? And Rav Nosson Zal explains that that's, if you want to know the most extreme example of Bechira, this is like the epitome of showing what Bechira really is. Because for him, it was possible for him to think that there were two ways to be plugged into Hashem. There was, you know, the minus and the plus. Either you could, his mistake on a certain level was that he was under the false impression that there's two options as to how you want to be plugged into Hashem. You can either be plugged in by a Kedusha, whereby you play by the rules of the Torah, etc., and achieve success in that way. Or there's a second alternative that's just as good. That's not that one is better than the other. It's two options. The second alternative is Shemois Hatuma, Niuf, you know, all the different things that he did. And the Bechira, is so confusing, the test is so difficult, that a person could be on his level where the Torah testifies, and he couldn't figure out that this was a mistake, that there aren't two options, but that one option is better than the other one. They start out as being perfectly parallel. That's the problem. That's the whole test. The wisdom of philosophy doesn't start out looking ugly. Person, when they're first hearing it, it doesn't. The thoughts, bad thoughts, don't come into their mind in 2 seconds. If Rav Nosson Zal always says that if a Jew did an avera and got electrocuted by it, which nut would do an avera? The whole problem, the whole test is that it's not immediate results. The test is that the Satan is given that delayed timer, you know, that delayed timing kind of thing. So a person doesn't feel the bug instantly. A person first gets sucked in a little more. Until he's falling already, Chas Hashem, until it's too late. And when the person realizes, it takes a super, super human effort to save himself, like to reverse it. Once there's a momentum build up, Chas Hashem.
And also, why would his sons want to lead the Arab Rabbah of Bnei Israel? And they had a father, as you said, so plugged in, who was so knowledgeable that why follow this source when you have
fifth column.
Another source
that's
closer?
Fifth column.
Could be that was a better way of doing milchama against the Jews. As Bilam wanted to destroy the Jews, what better? You have paratroopers, the guys who go on the other side, you know, and destroy from within. And we find that the damage that they did in certain ways, none of the Amalek, everybody else, couldn't harm the Jews as much as the Eir of Rav from within, Chas V'Shalom.
Still
happened. And exactly, the Zohar HaKadosh says that the Pasuk in Eicha that says, Hoyu Tzoreho L'Roish, that the enemies of the Jews became on top of... L'Roish could mean a lot of different things. L'Roish means to rise above them, referring to the Goyim, the nations of the world, being on top of the Jews, like in control of the Jews. The Zohar HaKadosh mentions that one of the worst problems as we get closer to the coming of Moshiach is going to be that the leadership of Klal Yisrael is going to be their tzoros. In other words, hoyu tzoreho, those who cause pain and problems to Klal Yisrael are going to be the leaders. The fact that, unfortunately, for example, you have a certain number of Jews in the world, and the majority are Reform, and then the largest portion is either totally not plugged into any shul at all, or Reform. Then the minority below them is conservative, the minority below them is Orthodox. And within Orthodox itself, the fact that you have so much machloikas, Rachmona Litzlan, this hoyu tzoreho l'roish, the fact that there's this category shebein tamid hachomim, the fact that there's machloikas on top, which makes it so confusing and so difficult for Yidden to come close to Hashem. So, Rabbi, we left off. Ubila mohoya mistakel bedas deklipa shehu moisrois shel das elyon. Bilam, his kesher was the das deklipa, which is moisrois. Moisrois means extra. It's 101%, like, you know, of the das elyon. It's when you finish learning all the knowledge of the Torah. Now let's go for that extra piece. Ukeshemishtane. And when Bilam sensed this change, the change from Das Dikdusha to Moisrois of Das Dikdusha, Yoda Shehakodesh Baruch Hu Bekas, that's when he was able to identify, that's how he was able to identify when Hashem was in Kas. The moment he experienced the change from Das to Das, from Das Dikdusha to Das Diklipa. Nimtza Shebilam Hu Das Diklipa. Validei diburov hoilid avirim arsiim shalniuf. Therefore, Bilam's words were able to generate vapors, poisonous vapors of adultery. Loze kishebo mimilchemes midyon, and it's for this reason that the Torah tells us that when the Jews returned from the battle against Midyon, Nemar, the pasuk says, vayiktsoif Moshe al pikudei achoil. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at the leaders, his generals, the leaders of the army at that time, Vayomer, and he said to them, Hechayisem kol nekeva? Did you allow the women of Midian to live? You only killed out the men, you didn't kill the women? Hein heino hoyu bidvar Bilam. They were the main ones in Bilam's plot to destroy the Jews. Who was he using? He wasn't using the men, he was using the women to mess the Yidden up. Rabbein Zal says, note the wording, Hein heino hoyu bidvar Bilam. Why didn't he say hein hein hoyu beplat shut? There's other Hebrew words. There's much clearer Hebrew words before that Bilam was Yodea Das Elyon. Yodea Das Elyon. He knew when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry because he was Das Deklipa. Therefore, he drew from that Das Deklipa. And he was able to see, and he knew when Hashem got angry, which means he knew Kavyochel when they switch gears in heaven. Let's say from 8 to 9 in the morning, they're giving out Das Dikdusha. From 9 to 9:05, they're giving out Das Deklipa. He knew when to go for his portion. That when that Das Deklipa was turned on, that means the Kas was turned on. Because we said Kas means Histalkus of Das Dikdusha. So Rabbi Nizal says, Bidvar Daiko, that those women were in the Dvar Bilam, Kyalyidei Dvorov, because through the words of Bilam, Shehu Hizgalus Hadas Sheloi, which was the revelation of his Das, Hoilid Niuf Bimidyon. He generated Niuf in the nation of Midyon. That's what gave the women of Midyon the ability to carry out this project. Ulefikoch Kishebo Mimelchomo Is Midyon. Therefore, when the Yidden returned from the battle with Midyon, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Vayikruvu el Moshe Roshi Apikudim. The generals came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they reported on what happened. Vayomru, and they said, Vanakrev es Korban Hashem. We brought a Korban, Lechaper al Nafshoisenu lefnei Hashem, to forgive for our Nefesh before Hashem. V'dorsh Razal, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Shekach Omru, these were their words. Afa, because Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, you mean you committed adultery? So they said, no, chas v'shalom. So the Gemara says, then what did they need a korban for? So the Gemara says, they said, afal pi shemidei aveiro yotzonu, midei hirhur lo yotzonu. Even though we didn't actually commit the sin physically, but we were trapped in bad thoughts, Rahman al-Islam. This is what the generals of Moshe Rabbeinu's army said. Again, we're not talking about karate superheroes. We're talking about Talmidei Chachomim Tzadikim. Besides being physically strong, besides being physically unafraid of the Goyim, these were all Tzadikim, his generals, his army, all of his Talmidim. And they said that because Bilam was so powerful, that his words, Bidvar Bilam, he was able to inject this eris, this poison, that affected even them at the time. This is a very important yisoy, this chapter on Likutei Moran, for a person to know what Breslov's ideology is, let's say, as far as any type of lectures or anything like that, that include philosophy, Jewish philosophy, or Sforim Chitzonim, any of these extra items. And within this category, as painful as it is to say, it's not my words, Rabbi Nizal says in Chaim Aran that there are certain Mefarshei HaTorah in the Mikrois Gedolos, which we definitely do not learn. Those Mefarshim, Eben Ezra, Ralbag in the Novi, and some of the other Mefarshim like that, which are known, it's known that their Pirushim also include a lot of philosophical thinking, meaning that whereas Rashi HaKodesh, one of the things that makes Rashi HaKodesh so special to Fruma Yidden is the fact that 90% of Rashi HaKodesh, 90 to 100% of Rashi HaKodesh is based on Gemara, Medrash, Zohar HaKodesh, or his own Ruach HaKodesh, period. But none of it is his own chachmas. None of it is his own philosophical thoughts on explaining certain items in the Torah. Whereas, unfortunately, some of these meforshim definitely deviated from that path. And the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Arizal, and all of those that follow him, and the leaders of the Hasidim, most of the leaders of the Hasidim, took a very, very strong, narrow path on this item, this in terms of dealing with this issue of philosophy or anything that resembles philosophy, to stay a billion miles away from it, literally. Rav Nosson Zal once commented that the Rambam Zal said about this Sefer, Mem Nun, that it was written that 1 in 1,000 people will be able to benefit from it, to understand it and benefit from it. So Rav Nosson Zal said, I can testify the 999 I've seen, I've come into contact with, the one I haven't met yet. To find 1 in 1,000 people that have studied these Sforim and their emunah was strengthened by it or improved by it in any way, that I haven't come across yet. The others, those people who went into this type of limud and you saw that their emunah wasn't the same, that whether it's emunah in the Torah, all of these things, Rabbi Nizal says in one chapter on Likutei Moran, we learned it, I think, I don't remember if we had it yet, where Rabbi Nizal talks about emunah. Rabbi Nizal says a yid is supposed to have emunah from head to toe, literally from head to toe, that every single part of your body, your eyes, your ears, your nostrils, every part of your body should have emunah in it. And Rabbi Nizal gives an example. When we wash netilas yadayim, we wash for bread, and we raise, after we pour the water on our hands, we raise up our hands, we say, Suidechem Kodesh Avorchas Hashem, and that's when we hold our hands out, in a sense, symbolic that Hashem should give us Shefa. Rabbi Nizal says, there's a pasuk, Vayhi Yodov Emunah. We see that there's Emunah by the hands. Well, let's say the example, when a person makes a mitzi on bread, and that the Torah says that a person has to make sure that all 10 fingers are on the mitzi, holding the mitzi. What does that mean? Means when a person does that, they're showing they have that their fingers believe in Hashem. When a person runs to shul, when a person instead of walking runs, shows that the feet believe in Hashem. Proof is that when he's going running for a train to work, he won't do it because his rabbi told him that you never insult you never disgrace your feet by allowing them to run for something they're not supposed to run for. Whereas when it comes to a mitzvah, any kind of mitzvah, to use the feet to run, and so to the eyes in terms of what you look at, what you don't, every single part of the body from head to toe. Whereas to the degree that a person, and here there's warnings given in the Torah, that there are certain things that strengthen the emunah, that strengthen, lahavdil, people know that there are certain exercises that strengthen the muscles of the eyes or other muscles, certain things that weaken it. The person goes through fast changes between light and darkness, a person could chas v'shalom become blind from that. Here also, the Torah gives specific advice that there are certain things that are dynamite, literally dynamite. Person says, I'll try it. You know, I'll play Russian roulette with it. Here, Rabbi Nizal says that this item could chas v'shalom bring to this for those who believe. It means keep 200 feet back. That a person would never want to be curious to look into those kind of sforim.
You mentioned things that are results of it. A person has emunah, will run and do all these things. Sometimes what if a person doesn't have emunah? Sometimes maybe you only get steeped into philosophy, but there's certain questions a person has that can't be answered by just saying you believe. You must understand the bad creation.
For that, there's a Torah. A Jew is obligated to learn as much as he can. Whatever information is available, whatever answers are available, a person's not supposed to say that I want to go on emunah alone. That's not an option. But for a Jew to know that emunah has a place in Yiddishkeit, that the assumption isn't that until I'll understand it, I'd rather not be bothered. In other words, why should I be fake? What I understand, what makes sense to me, I'll do. What doesn't make sense to me, I won't do. That attitude doesn't work in Judaism.
I don't have time to ramp up what is philosophy. Because there's certain times certain answers are heard which help. And if I want to hear that argument, anybody once heard an argument that the reason why we know this is Torah, 600,000 people accepted it, and then they passed on to it from the rabbis. They passed it to the next generation, and if it would have been a fairy tale, you couldn't have gotten that many people at one time to hear it and believe it and pass on to another Dara.
Why not? Let's say
because you could just fabricate something, so you're going to have half a million people going to say it's true, and then you're going to pass it.
Hitler, Yemach Shemoi Vezichroi, wasn't able to fabricate to more than 600,000 people. How many people? I don't know how many people there were in Germany at the time that were under his influence, where he led them to believe that the problem of the world was the Jews, and that if they could rid the world of this problem, that the world would be a better place to live in.
Here, we say that there was a world event, it was Mount Terror, and over half a million people saw it and it's passed on. So therefore, if this thing was made up, you couldn't have got the ball rolling. But what I'm just saying is certain things that help us on find what is really going into the creatures, what is really going to us, and what is really
The answer is there. That's why Rabbi Nizal names certain svarim by name, and there are other tzaddikim that mention particular svarim, saying this sefer stay away from. Obviously, they knew these tzaddikim. Some of them looked into these svarim. and knew which question is treif, which question is okay, or knew that this question, Rabbeinu Zal mentions in Eternally Good Imran, that there are sometimes the nature is the questions that are by each person. There's pnimiyim and makifin. Each person has the knowledge that they've already come to understand, and things that they don't yet understand, which are like right outside their head. The minute a person resolves a question, Rabbeinu Zal says that question falls, and the next question shifts into position in that person's brain. The next question comes, lines up in front of that person. So that sometimes, for a person to be given an answer to a particular question, even if the person might think that I was done a tremendous favor, I had this thing that I didn't understand, and now that I've heard this piece of information, it answered, the question became clear to me. But what they don't know is, they don't know that as a result of that, another question came up of the type of questions that a person is not allowed to ask or not allowed to try to answer, or Rabbeinu Zal puts a label on them. Rabbeinu Zal says there are certain questions which are within mitoich hazman, and there are certain questions which are lemalam hazman. For example, let's say you have a child that doesn't know anything about computers, and you want to explain to them the way a bank produces statements at the end of a month. In order to explain that to that child, it would take about 6 months to first explain what a computer is, and all the different ingredients, all the different hakdamas that are needed. Rabbeinu Zal says you should know there are certain questions for which the amount of time that it takes to give the explanation that's needed for it is more than 120 years. And if a person has that question, if a person gets that question into his hands, he's in a lot of trouble. In other words, if that question appears on a person's screen, he's in a lot of trouble. Because, chas v'shalom, there doesn't exist enough time in his life to answer it. So that he could learn from today till tomorrow, he won't have answered the question. He'll be walking around with that question, and it's like a hole in his pocket, that kind of thing. So therefore, there's a tremendous, delicate process of knowing which questions to ask, which questions to give answers to, which questions not to answer. And it seems not everybody's qualified to make that decision. There are certain tzaddikim who had the Arizal, other tzaddikim who we believe had the authority. They knew. In the Zohar Kodesh, there are certain questions that are asked, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal says, this question we cannot give an answer to it. We have no permit. What do you mean cannot? Baloney. You gave answers to 300 other questions. What made you suddenly decide not to answer this one? The answer is because he knew that this question, either the answer itself could be problematic, or Rabbeinu Zal says, even if the answer isn't a problem, by answering this question, you bring up another question that becomes tremendous trouble, chas v'shalom. This is just an example of some things that we're not even aware of. Person doesn't know. And person, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. I just punched the thing. I saw somebody else punch it 10 times and nothing happened. And the person didn't know that the magic number is 11. That when that thing gets punched 11 times, an explosion goes off somewhere. And Rabbeinu Zal gives this example in terms of questions being answered. There's a tremendous sechel, dikdusha, that's needed to know where to draw the line.
So you might have those sari or tertiary questions ready in his mind, but he might have already broken those.
Triggered those things.
In his own mind. He's saying that you should suppress them.
I don't. That's a whole second question. What does a person do once they have those questions? How to deal with it? Could be Rabbeinu Zal speaks about it in a different Torah. That's a whole second issue. But in terms of knowing that this is a danger, this is a minefield. That's the point. It's a minefield. What do you mean? A person could have walked in a minefield for 10 hours and not gotten blown up. Doesn't prove anything. Doesn't prove anything.
I think this question is connected to your question. What about rabbis such as the Malbim and Rabbi Shimshon Falkhurst, that they're trying to counter the Haskalah movement? They're trying to make things clear in Jews' eyes.
The answer is this is a very delicate issue, because the Rambam Zal also, those that are, from what I've heard, I'm not very knowledgeable, number one, in the history of that time or in knowing, but I have heard that a great portion of what the Rambam wrote and dealt with was because of the fact that during his time there were many philosophers that were attacking Bnei Yisrael and everything and making major inroads, and he wanted to provide the antidote to them, like, as to those people that had been bitten by that snake, and he was going to give them that. But that's like a kind of medication that has to be given. If it is, the Rambam admits that it's for 1 in 1,000. Which person, which Meicher Sforim looks, checks identity cards of the people coming in to buy the Sefer to see if they're from the 1 or from the 999, number 1. And so too some of these later Sforim that were written, Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, who lived in Germany, from what I understand, and also dealt with those type, with the Haskalah movement, those type of people. I'm not speaking for myself, I'm speaking for Rabbeinu Zal, for the Hasidim. Their opinion was to stay clear from that those interpretations of Chumash, etc., etc., we generally do not learn. We learn Rashi HaKodesh in Chumash, we learn the Gemara, the Medrash, and there's enough to learn. There's enough to learn in those to keep a person going, not for 120 years, for thousands of years. The problem is that again, Lahavdil, just like adultery, this strange woman seems so much more appealing and attractive and exciting and everything else than the legitimate one. That's the exact moshel that's given in Sforim for these other meforshim, these other women, other Sforim. Person reads and wow, it sounds so great. Sounds so powerful, so deep, and so intelligent, and it's such an intelligent response. And that's what grabs many people. They have this taiva, lahavdil, like there's a taiva for this, they have a taiva for knowledge, but they don't realize that it's a treif version of it. There's a kosher version of it, there's knowledge that injects humbleness and emuna into a person, and there's knowledge. In other words, the Torah says that the nature of the Torah is that it gives a person anovo and yira and other things. Then how could it be that we see a person who learns, who has mountains of knowledge, and we see that it didn't give him anovo? The opposite, there's gaiva rachmanot. How is it possible? The answer is, in some cases, it's because he didn't learn that Torah. In the Torah itself, there's samchaim samovis. In the Torah itself, there are meforshim, which if you'll learn these meforshim, they will shine into you. Yira shamayim, and emuna, and anova, and all of those midos. And there are other meforshim where if you learn them, they'll make you feel smart. You'll feel very smart. You'll feel intelligent. You'll feel that you can walk over to a shoemaker and ask him a question. He won't know the answer, and you'll laugh at him. Ha ha, he's zero. And I'm smart. But you don't know that as a result of the process, you were forced to relinquish your emunah. There's a certain pure, simple faith in Hashem and in tzaddikim, which these meforshim tend to play down. For example, when they'll write about Yosef HaTzadik, when they'll write specifically about the stories of tzaddikim that take place in the Torah, a person will read their interpretations and they'll walk away with the feeling, because these meforshim try to explain Yosef HaTzadik as having been a human being, just like you and me, and explaining the fallacies and this, and that's full of baloney. Because the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh and all of these Sforim HaKadoshim write that heaven help you if you dare think that Yosef HaTzadik was like you or me, Chas Hashem. He was a tzaddik of the highest, highest, highest caliber, far, far removed from physical pleasures. And the way it's presented in the Chumash in simple form isn't whatsoever what the intent is over there. It's presented like that to be taught to 5-year-olds or 6-year-olds on that level. But once a person becomes old enough and mature enough to be able to learn Mishnayis, Gemara, then we give them the true version of it, where the Gemara says that any Jew who says that Reuven committed a sin, or Dovid HaMelech, or Yosef HaTzadik, is mistaken. It's a big, big mistake. And unfortunately, that's an example of the type of mistaken impression that can be gotten from this type of Das. Baruch Hashem.